Hello, welcome to the Tuesday, April 28th, 2015 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Washington, D.C. A Finnish researcher did release some details about a so far unpatched WordPress cross-site scripting vulnerability after being somewhat frustrated trying to get WordPress to fix this particular problem. The vulnerability is in so far interesting in that the cross-site scripting vulnerability is exploitable due to, well, sort of a little quirk in MySQL databases. What happens here is that the cross-site scripting code is actually properly validated before it's being inserted in the database, but if the text is too large for the particular database column it's being inserted in, then part of that code is cut off, which then triggers the cross-site scripting vulnerability. This is again yet another example for why you can't really prevent cross-site scripting just on input validation alone. In this case, well, because of this little quirk in MySQL where it just cuts off the extra length of the string, the string is modified after being validated, and then, well, without proper output encoding, of course, cross-site scripting is going to happen. The problem here is that essentially any user can post a comment that triggers the cross-site scripting vulnerability once an administrator reviews the comment in order to approve or reject it. So really, the administrator can be targeted with this cross-site scripting vulnerability. No patch at this point, so certainly something that you should watch out for if you do run WordPress and allow user comments. Now, it's a little bit of a mitigating condition here for this vulnerability. MySQL does store the comments in a text column, so in order for the column to be cut off, the attacker has to post at least 64 kilobytes, so you could look for these extremely long comments to see whether or not someone is attempting to exploit the vulnerability. And sticking with web application vulnerabilities for a second here, the Magento shopping cart vulnerability that I talked about a couple days ago is actively being exploited, according to Sucuri. Remember, this was a little bit of a tricky vulnerability. It involved actually multiple vulnerabilities that then together can be used to execute arbitrary code on the server. And Yubico has been creating a relatively inexpensive two-factor authentication USB keys for a while now, and they recently started with the Yubico Neo key to also offer a wireless or an NFC version of their keys. Sadly, due to a bug in the code that's running on these YubiKey Neo devices, it is possible to access the key signing features even without entering a PIN. Usually you're supposed to enter a PIN code in order to unlock the device, but due to a typo actually, or a simple logic flaw in the logic that verifies whether or not the PIN is valid and whether or not the key is used in order to sign anything, the logic will allow signing of content even if the PIN is not entered. This is, of course, a particular problem in the NFC mode, because this way an attacker could take advantage of the key wirelessly, so without actually having physical possession of the key. Yubico did release a software update that you can apply to existing keys. Also, there is a fairly detailed advisory by YubiKey that details exactly how this particular vulnerability could be exploited. And we got yet another great diary by Brad with some updates about the Fiesta exploit kit, one of the big exploit kits going around these days and infecting users. Brad does have some details with new indicators of compromise and URL patterns that you may see in attacks that involve this exploit kit and a particular actor employing this exploit kit. BizCN is how Brad calls this particular group, because they tend to register their domain names they're using with the BizCN registrar. And in case you got hit by the Tesla Crypt encryption ransomware, Cisco is nice enough to have released a free decryption tool that uses some mistakes that this particular group did in the implementation of their encryption algorithm. In order to use this tool, you do need the key.dat file, which is left behind by TeslaCrypt on the affected machine. The tool, of course, is being released without any warranty, and of course, there's no guarantee that it will work with every possible version of TeslaCrypt. Well, that's it for today, so thanks for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.